You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas for the Hot Texas
Swing Band.
And our buddy Alex Dormont.
We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Thanks. This is episode 147. And we're going to have a little bit of a celebration in just a moment. Who's our first guest going to come on screen?
Henry C. Park.
And here comes Henry. Hey!
Hey, guys.
He's the author of the greatest westerns ever made and the people who made... Oh, he's holding up the book. We get it in double. And the film editor for True West magazine.
I don't
Henry
have that.
Joins up. Us. Henry joins us the first Thursday of every month. And Henry, where are you joining us from tonight?
As you can tell, I'm in Brooklyn. Isn't that what it looks like behind me? Yes. Still in Brooklyn.
Yes.
I'm not in the Metropolitan Museum.
Yeah, and it's not a green screen behind you. That's the real deal.
That's right.
It does look a little, you know, dated to a, you know, a California place, you know. It's a totally different decor.
Yeah. Yes.
Welcome to Xanadu. Yes.
There you go.
Who is our other second guest that's joining us tonight?
Anne Charles.
Charles. And here she is. Hello, Anne.
Nearly departed in Deadwood.
See, and Henry's got the book, too. Oh, my goodness, Anne. We have so many yellow pieces of paper in here because these were all sections we either had to read aloud to ourselves, to each other, or we wanted to be sure, you know, Jim, did you read the such and such? And so we decided to keep them inside the book tonight.
All right.
These are all the one-liners, you know? Well, that's some of them, I guess.
And where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm from Prescott, Arizona, up in the mountains.
Oh, big rodeo there every year.
Yes, there is.
Yeah,
they say it's the oldest. So
I think so, yeah. Yes. Well, we are so happy that you are both with us for this episode 147, which is our...
Third birthday anniversary. We have props here.
And Jim has a
cake.
Can you get it in the camera?
Happy birthday. We're not going to sing, y'all.
We'll do this later, and we will cut a slice for each of you. But we are so happy. Henry, you've been with us. You know, the very first show was August 4th, 2022, which was the first Thursday in August. And so Henry was there, and Henry has been with us, I think, every month since then. We're so happy that you're with us, and we really can't celebrate the birthday without a call out to our good friend, Jim Christina, author Jim Christina, who was the host of the Writer's Block. And Henry was with us the first Thursday for 8 years or something, Henry, I think, right?
That's right.
And without Jim's dream of this show celebrating the written word, we wouldn't be carrying his tradition on with us today. So we want to just give a shout out to Jim Christina and his wife, Jerry, that kept it all going. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
And we have a second announcement.
Yes, we do.
What is
hold it?
You can talk about it. Do you want to
announce it? No. We have a landing page just for Rendezvous with the Writer.
finally have our own dedicated page for everything about Rendezvous. You can go there to contact us. You can listen and watch all of the shows all the way back to number one. You can click the link to take you to Podbean. It's everything. And we want to say great job to Janelle Madison of Clicks by Madison, who created that page for us. And it seemed like the perfect kind of thing to announce on a third birthday. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a great
cake. Right.
Let's get down to it.
It's a great cake. You want to come over, Henry? Or we'll, you know, we'll call you up FaceTime and we'll, you know,
that's
enjoy
at your door right now.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's just see.
I think it's time for Henry, isn't it?
I think it's time. Henry's Western Roundup. Take it away, Henry.
All right. Thank you. Well, now, there are two new Westerns just out. Eddington is from Shishi horror writer-director Ari Aster. It has a wonderful cast, Oscar winner Joaquin Phoenix, double Oscar winner Emma Stone, Oscar nominee Austin Butler, four-time Emmy nominee Pedro Pascal. Strong performances, an intriguing premise. What happens in a tiny New Mexico town when COVID divides its residents politically? I guess all it lacks is a plot. There are endless intriguing loose ends, absolutely no characters you care about, nothing Western besides the locale, pointlessly brutal violence, and if you're going to call your movie a black comedy, you need something comic to happen at some point. Huh. I counted three smirks in 2.5 hours.
Oh my God!
It's in theaters and will be for another 40 minutes. Bury 'em deep is on Amazon Prime for $4 and was made for less than Eddington spent on blood squibs. It's a real period Western. The only star name is Michael Pere from Streets of Fire, who's a villain here, but the lead is Robert Bronzy, a Hungarian actor who's based his career on his amazing resemblance to Charles Bronson. Unlike Eddington, it has a plot as well as a premise. Bronzy is a bounty hunter who gets shot and almost dies, and is nursed back to health by a nun whose orphanage, wouldn't you know it, is being foreclosed on. Bronzy is trying to get to his stashed reward money, and an endless stream of bad guys and bad gals want to stop him. I'm not saying it's great or even good, but you can follow it, all except for Bronzy's dialogue. That accent is pretty impregnable. In the time I've been in New York, there have been a surprising number of Western or Western-adjacent stage plays. There was a revival of Jethro Compton's stage adaptation of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, wow.
And I lost my place. Sorry. At the Jane Frankel Theater. It's based not on the John Ford film, but on the original short story by Dorothy M. Johnson. And it's very interesting for what the two versions share and how they differ. Dead Outlaw, the musical, recently closed on Broadway, but is likely to be revived. It's suggested by the true story of a studio prop dummy that, after years of being thrown out of windows and shot off of horses, was discovered to actually be not a dummy, but a mummy of an old West outlaw. Floyd Collins, the musical, is based on the true story of Kentucky cave explorer or spelunker, who becomes a media sensation when he gets trapped 200 feet underground. It's also the basis for Billy Wilder's darkest comedy, Ace in the Hole. And in 2026, Broadway's getting a new Western musical, Wanted, formerly Gun and Powder, when it premiered at the Paper Mill Theater in New Jersey last year. Set in Texas in 1893, it's the, quote, mostly true, unquote, story of twin sisters Mary and Martha Clake, who, as the handout says, are extraordinary women who went from farm girls to outlaws to legends. Book and lyrics are by one of their descendants, Angelica Cherie, with music, direction, and choreography by a bunch of top Broadway people. You can read all about it soon in the roundup. And now for something serious. When I heard that on the set of Rust, Alec Baldwin's gun accidentally fired, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins, I thought, there but for the grace of God go I. Because when I was going to NYU Film School, directing a student film, I had a scene where an actor
fires a shotgun at another actor maybe 10 feet away. I legally got a theatrical gun permit, rented a shotgun, bought shotgun blanks with absolutely zero training or instruction. And if the actor holding the gun hadn't refused to fire, we might have seriously injured or killed the other actor. That's why I'm so happy that our mutual friend, Peter Shirako, has written a new book, Prove It Safe, about gun safety on movie sets.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Peter, he got
that. We didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that. Yeah.
It's you know, I'm not, he sent me a copy immediately. I'm not even sure if it's for sale yet, but I think it is. Anyhow, Peter's the great Western historical expert and armorer on hundreds of shows. And he takes you, he takes you through the new California gun handling rules, which will likely be adopted by other states. He examines every known fatal gun accident on a movie set, going back to silent movies, and he demonstrates that not one would have happened if the basic common sense gun handling rules established by film set armorers years ago had been followed. And if you are contemplating making a movie requiring firearms, you need this book. Now, back in January, True West Best of the West issue, in which The Thicket was the reader's choice, the best Western film of the year, terrific film. I wrote that when I saw it in a theater, I was alone. I don't mean I wasn't with anyone. I mean, I was the only person in the theater. I'm guessing the traditional Western audience assumed The Thicket, with its dwarf hero and lesbian villain, would be too gimmicky. But it's a terrific Western, directed by Elliot Lester from the Joe Lansdale novel and produced by the Tubi streaming service. And I'm delighted to say it has been discovered by audiences and is currently among the top 10 films streaming on Amazon, as well as Tubi. I highly recommend it. My newest post on the INSP channel blog, in honor of the recent National Day of the Cowboy, looks at all the different rules and creeds of the Lone Ranger, Hopalong Cassidy, Roy Rogers, and Gene Autry. In the July-August True West, I'd look back at Val Kilmer's oft-forgotten first Western, Billy the Kid, at the new Westerns, Was Once a Hero and Unholy Terror, and future Westerns, Young Guns 3. And this weekend, I'll be hosting a new, I'll be posting a new Henry's Western Roundup featuring my interview with Russian three-time Mr. Universe turned actor Alexander Nevsky and his new sumo wrestling themed Western, The Wide West. And you can read all about this and so much more at henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Ah. Yeah, that wrestling Western got to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's and it is another one that is really based on or suggested by historical fact that Teddy Roosevelt helped negotiate the end of the Sino-Russian War. And Japan was so grateful that they sent a whole bunch of sumo wrestlers and other athletes to visit him at the White House. And they had to come from the West and go cross country. So it was quite an adventure. Wow.
Oh, yeah, they would have landed in, to go east. They land in the West and I got it. Yeah. Well, Anne, I think that your series ought to be a series visually somehow, sometime, somewhere. Don't you think, Henry?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I love the Deadwood setting. So I mean, that just leaps out at you as so visual.
Yeah.
Have you been to Deadwood, Henry?
I have not. I've seen many, many pictures, but I've never actually been.
Okay.
That's kind of quite a town.
We went to the TV show.
Yes, yes. That was a good show. That was fun.
Yeah. We've just been the one time, 2023, the Western Writers of America gathering was in Rapid City. And we had one day before the conference really, took off. We had one scheduled day in Deadwood. And we are so grateful that we had that day, especially reading your book, because you go like, oh, the Adams House. Yeah, we know where that is. Or, oh, the cemetery. Oh, yeah, we were there.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
We are going to take a very short break. We're so eager to talk to our other featured guest, Ann Charles. But first, we're going to have this first little spot from one of our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Are you a writer? Maybe you'd like to increase your social media presence, refresh your website, or like we just did, launch a web page like our rendezvouswithawriter.com. Our sponsors are standing by to assist you. Here's exciting news about a new feature offered to writers. Why not take advantage of it like we did? We'll be right back with Ann Charles and Henry Park. Don't go away. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking to Henry C. Park and Charles and Nearly Departed and Deadwood.
This book is so much fun. We're going to get talking about it in greater detail in just a moment, but why don't you go ahead and introduce
Ann? We had a question. Anything that we didn't mention in your bio?
Haven't done the bio yet.
We haven't.
No.
I think it's time for the bio. Just one man's opinion.
We're live, folks.
5,000 bios. This is the first one I didn't get on time. Okay, you're not going to fire me, right?
No. No cake for you.
No Jack Daniels.
USA Today bestselling author Ann Charles writes award-winning spicy character-driven stories full of mystery, romance, comedy, adventure, suspense, and supernatural mayhem. When she's not dabbling in fiction, she's arm wrestling with her two kids, enjoying a drink with her husband, and arguing with her sassy cats. Those are supposed to be some cats.
Yes.
Welcome in. Ann.
Thank you.
After I read the bio now, is there something in there you'd like to share that's not in there?
Yeah.
It might be a surprise.
Oh, boy. I don't know. it's been a crazy world. And, I know. I don't say it often, but I was actually a question on Jeopardy. Once. Ooh, okay. And it was such an honor to have Alex Trebek say my name. The question is, you'd think I'd have it memorized, but it's something along the lines of Ann Charles writes novels in this Western town, or writes morbid novels or something like that in this Western town. And the answer is, what is Deadwood? So it was, I had no idea it was going to happen. My mom called, I was at work, and she's like, you're on Jeopardy. And I said, no, I'm at work. She's like, no, you're on Jeopardy. And I said, I don't think you understand. I'm sitting at work. I would know if I was on Jeopardy. And then she said, no, my friends from the East Coast have called and they said, you're a question on Jeopardy. And wow, what an honor. It was just, gave me chills. It was so fun.
That's so funny.
You know, you've made it.
Yes.
it was cool. And you know, the contestants didn't know the answer. And you'd think that'd be a bad thing, but when they don't know the answer, your name, you know, the whole thing sits up there on the screen as they do the, you know, the Jeopardy song, music. And so everybody has plenty of time to read the question and try to figure it out, you know. So it was really kind of a good thing that the contestants didn't know the answer.
Yeah, they all know it now.
That's right.
You in the dedication to your book, you mention two different individuals that you wanted to do a shout out to. The first one was Robert Taylor Buck.
Yeah,
yeah, Robert Buck.
Robert, his name Robert was Taylor. Yeah.
Buck. Yes, and it's not the actor. No, this was my stepfather, and I grew up with him out in the Black Hills. It just, he loved to go exploring and have adventures. And my mom would be in town working at one of the local stores, and we would take time and we would just go explore dirt roads. And back then you could go into some of the mines, and they still had some of the buildings, you know, the different mining operations up all over the place. So we had so many wonderful times exploring the Black Hills, and some of that comes through in the story, you know, it just, the Black Hills was a home to me, and it still is. It feels like home, even though I live down here. So I love going back there. But that, he's my stepfather, and he passed away of stomach cancer about a year before we got the book published. Mm. So that was the first one. And the other is Harvey Harvey. And I am asked often if that's a something that got missed in the editing run. And it's no, his name was Harvey Harvey. And it was a friend of mine who, it was his grandfather, my friend's grandfather. And I can't remember. I believe he was a pilot in World War One or Two. I should know, but it's been a long time. But he was quite a character, and I heard many stories about him. So when I came up with the character, Old Man Harvey, you know, it was thinking of this wonderful man did so many amazing things with his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he a lot like Old Man Harvey?
According to my friend, he was. He said his grandfather was quite a character. So, yes.
And he is Old Man Harvey.
Yeah, he's kind of R-rated in our book here.
When he comes on the page initially, he's a little different than as he marches through the book. And then by the time, you know, later on, I love the scene with the next door neighbor who's gardening. Yes. and the way Harvey describes her and all. And Harvey's just every page it has Harvey. Don't you think, Henry? Every page with Harvey.
Oh, they sparkle. Yeah.
I have fun when I'm writing scenes with Harvey. And it's really fun when I write the story, each story in that series. You know, each scene that comes on, and I think about who's going to be in the scene, and it's a lot of fun because I've really gotten to know the characters so well. It's like sitting in a room and, you know, with your friends, and, you know, you sit down with certain friends and, you know, you're going to go this way with the conversation, and others, you don't know where you're going to go, but it's probably going to be crazy, you know, and that's a lot of the characters in that series.
Yeah. You sent us, we do ask authors to provide the book to us, which, of course, because we are reading it. And this arrived, this is the collector's edition, and it is the number one book in this particular series, but it's the collector's edition. And Henry, what did your book look like when it arrived?
Oh, had I known you were going to ask directly, I'd have brought the photographs, because I took pictures on the unwrapping at every stage. My wife used to be a department store custom wrapper for Macy's. And so I sent her picture by picture, the whole process, because it was just so beautifully done. She was terribly impressed.
Oh,
it's beautifully.
Very elegant job.
And we yeah. do that, my husband and I, we do that with every book that you buy through our store. We try to put that much, you know, love, and, you know, we want you to enjoy the gift that you've purchased. So we put, you know, the time into it to wrap it nicely, include all kinds of fun extras, you know, and we have different extras, different fun things for each series. So it's a lot of fun on our end to try to make the unwrapping experience exciting and something different, you know, something that you'll remember.
It's like getting a birthday present.
Yes, yes. Now, do you want to just take a moment, and then we're going to take a break, but do you want to take a moment and tell us kind of what was the inspiration behind a collector's edition? Why a collector's edition?
Well, you know, I was getting ready to put out book 14 in the series, and I work with a publisher to do the audiobooks, and we were discussing, you know, some options going forward, different things I could be doing, you know, and I am an independent on the trade published book. And the company I work with, the owner was really excited at the idea of, you know, let's do a collector's edition for book one. Let's go back through, you know, that book was written back in 2007, 2008. So there were, if you read the trade version, the trade back version, you'll see some things that are a little dated, like some technology. So it was an opportunity for me to go in and update cell phones, you know, to what they're like now instead of what they were like then. And several little things like that. Just try to smooth it over so that the story will last, you know, longer, will be feel contemporary longer for, you know, everyone. So you don't feel like, oh, wait, what is, you know, it's an Atari. Wait, what's Atari? You know, for those of us who remember Atari. So it was just a great opportunity to go back and try to freshen it up. But we wanted to be careful because that story had such spark, you know, originally. We didn't want to really change anything major. We wanted everything to kind of feel the same. Just a new paint job, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Henry, before we take our second little break, do you have a, you just jump in here with any question or comment for Anne?
Yeah, I was just, your output has been really remarkable, the number of books you've turned out. And I was wondering, to have so much productivity, do you like insist to yourself that you write a certain number of words, or do you have very specific hours that you write? I was just wondering how you approach the physical business of writing.
Well, back when I was started writing back then, I had a full-time job and I had babies, very young children, two of them. And so I would work all day and I would come home at night and spend some time with my kids and my husband. And everyone would go to bed early. And then I'd stay up till about 2 a.m. writing, getting as much done as I could, sleep for about 5 hours, get up and go again to work. And I was young. I could do that then. Now I need a bit more sleep, and it doesn't come as, you know, work is a little slower. There's a lot going on, but I aim for 2,000 words a day, and not every day, you know, kind of 10,000 a week. There's been months where I've written 60,000 words. And for some writers, that's nothing. They write really fast, but I'm not a fast writer. I take my time when I finish a chapter before I hand it off to my editing crew. It's mostly done. It's pretty polished. So I like to really, you know, work on a chapter. So it just takes me a little longer, but I just try to get the book done. Keep going and get it done.
We're going to step away for just a moment to tell you about one of the places you can order the books of many of our author guests, including Henry Park and Anne. You'll find their books on the OutWest Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we're going to meet some of the characters from this book we could not put down, Nearly Departed in Deadwood. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on OutWest Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop OutWest on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Henry C. Park and Anne Charles, and we're talking about our book, Nearly Departed.
In Deadwood.
Now, before we get into characters, we thought, what was the inspiration? Do you have an inspiration for this book?
When I wrote that book, it wasn't the first one. It was about the sixth or seventh book I'd written, and I switched over to first person for the first time. I started writing in third person, which my other series are in, and I wanted to get a feel for what that was like. And I was in Deadwood at the time when the idea kind of, you know, hit me, visiting my mom. And I just thought, what would it be like to be a mother here with two young children? I had two very young children at the time. And, you know, you're trying to start a job. And I thought, oh, real estate would be fun, because anyone who's been to Deadwood or, you know, has kind of read up on it, everywhere is haunted in Deadwood. It has such a history with, you know, ghosts and so much, so many things have happened there that I thought I want to include the ghosts of Deadwood in this. I want that to be part of the story. I want Deadwood to be part of the story. I want it to be more than just a setting. It needs to be a character that's right there with us. So I just, you know, it was all that together and wanting to produce something that would help also bring people to Deadwood. At the time, the big Homestake mine had shut down pretty much. A lot of people were jobless. Deadwood was struggling. They had only just recently changed over to gambling from tourism. And I just wanted to do something that would bring people to see this wonderful Old West town in a beautiful location and make it funny at the same time, but yet a little dark, you know, with a little bit, you know, darker humor and all together. So it was just a mix of all that. And I wanted a heroine with an old name, and that's why Violet is her name. It's also purple's my favorite color. So it just seemed like, let's just go forth with that name.
There are, you do take us to different places. Of course, you talk about Deadwood, and we go into some businesses and we go into some city-owned properties. You want to just talk a moment about some of the ideas. What did you have to consider as you chose these locations?
Well, I wanted to be very careful. You know, as much as I would love to include people's houses, those who had told me that their house was haunted, I had to be careful because, you know, if I include your house in the story and it's great for you, you love it. People, as the book got more popular, maybe people stop by and take a picture of themselves, you know, in front of your house, and that's all good for you. But if you sell your house and someone new moves in that doesn't like people stopping in front of their house and taking pictures of themselves, you know, I wanted to take that into consideration and be aware that things could change. So anything that's city owned, the library, the rec center, the police station, anything like that, the museums, those are the real deal. And I try to get the setting, you know, close to the real thing so that if you ever go visit Deadwood, you feel like, oh, hey, if I go to the rec center, I'm going to run into Doc. If I, you know, go here, I'm going to see this person maybe, you know, and bring it to life that way. And then I had fun creating some fictional places too, that I could use, you know, for things to happen, events to happen in there as well. So it's really fun. And I do that with all the books, all the books in the series. In the book two and our book four, especially, it really focuses on the lead historic opera house, and that's a beautiful building. Yeah, and you can go through that now and read the book, and it's going to match because we put such work into being, you know, feeling like Violet's in there. And if you go take a tour, you can, you know, you'll know, oh, here's the place where she was doing this. Here's the elevator. Oh, eek, scary place.
Oh.
So it's really fun that way to get to include real places yet fictionalize them. And the locals in both are amazing. They're so wonderful and loving and supportive. And I just love to go visit because they're family.
Henry, I know you have something to share.
Oh, well, I was wondering what writers inspired you growing up? Who did you read that made you want to become a novelist?
I was all over the place. So I loved Stephen King, creepy old Stephen King, you know, Salem's Lot, that good stuff. I also loved Louis L'Amour. I'd read it on the school bus every day coming home. Just his westerns, I would eat him up. I've enjoyed Zane Grey. I love Zane Grey's females. Louis L'Amour just kind of throws them in there a lot of times, where Zane Grey really brings, you know, his female characters are a little more developed. So as a woman, I really appreciate that. I've read a lot of romances. My stepmom would get the romances, you know, each month in a box in the mail. And when she was done, I would sneak them so I could read and, you know, just see what these were like. I tried everything. I was such a, you know, reading was a great escape. And I didn't know I was ever going to be an author. That wasn't part of the plan. I just always loved stories.
That's because, as a matter of fact, it does strike me because all of what you're saying makes such sense because what you write sort of straddles so many genres. They're not just mysteries or contemporary westerns or romance or humor. It involves, you know, all of those. And yes. I was just wondering, when your fans go to a bookstore, where do they look for you?
Oh, boy. See, that was the problem. That's why I ended up... I was trying to go through traditional publishing and they kept telling me, pick a team. Are you going to be a mystery author? Are you going to be romance? Are you going to be horror? What are you doing? And I just, this is what came out. It was a blend of everything. So it was a real boon when Amazon started up and you could put your book online in a bunch of different categories instead of having to say, you know, I have to do 60 to 70% mystery or I can't get published. It was like, I can finally create this blend of different genres and have fun on the page with them all. So I was just thrilled when ebooks became more of a thing and it wasn't so bad, you know, you weren't looked down upon when you started publishing. And I was there in the early days, right before Kindle Unlimited started, you know, got going. And so I jumped on some of those promotions and it really was, it made such a difference for finding readers for me. And it just blew the stories up. It was just wonderful timing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to step away for our one last spot, and then when we come back, we'll have time to talk about a couple characters.
Yep, yeah.
So let's take a listen. Yeah. This is our last sponsor today, and this is Jim and me. We are also sponsors of the show through our OutWestShop.com online Western shop, and let's take a listen, and we'll be right back to talk about Violet and her friends.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Henry C. Park and Ann Charles. We're holding up her book, Nearly Departed in Deadwood.
Look at those purple boots on the cover.
You know, you got a cast of characters here, and we won't get quite to all of them, but everyone is something in themselves. They're all a little bit different. You know, we kind of ask authors once in a while, you know, we figure you got control of these guys and gals, but did they ever surprise you?
Oh, completely. When I plot, I went through all kinds of character interviews and plotting things. I'm a Virgo. Sometimes I really shine in my organizational skills this way. Not always. But I did this all this work to prep for this book and interviewed them. It was fun. And turned around, I started page one. I wrote the first line and I thought, oh, well, there's somebody that's holding a shotgun on her. And who is that? And old man Harvey appeared. And there was nothing in any of my notes. There's nowhere that this guy is. He just came on and said, oh, I'm going to be a big part of this story. And still, yes, to this day, he is her sidekick. They have so much fun together. You know, it's kind of like a... I've had many wonderful relationships with older guys that are grandfather or uncle figures. And it just really comes out with Harvey where he's there for her at every turn. And he just knows the town. He's been there his whole life. It's small town. So he knows things that she doesn't. So he's just wonderful and says the things that make her cheeks turn pink time and again. You know?
No filter. There's no filter on Harvey. No
well,
filter.
He figures... Yeah, he figures he's old. He doesn't have time to filter things. He's just got to let it all out, or he could die. So he might as well say what he feels.
Yeah. He's a really okay guy. Guys like him too. You know, he's really okay. How about we're going to shout out another character?
Shout out another name.
Well, we got a weasel here.
Oh,
tell us about Ray.
Oh, Ray. Ray is a wonderful villain. Oh, he's so much fun. He's such a Oh, there's words I can't say on air, but he's just so great at being and being bad. And he wants to get Violet fired because he had his nephew was supposed to get the job and she got shoehorned in, you know, instead. And he's angry about it. And he does not want her to succeed in the realty business. He really wants her to fail. And so he just takes every opportunity to let her know when the boss isn't around. And, you know, way back when we've all had, not all, but many of us have had people we worked with that are like Ray. And
Oh, yes.
You just kind of love to hate him in the story. And he makes such a great villain, especially in the first book. It's so good when him and Violet butt heads. And he really helps show us how strong she is because she's got, you know, she's not doing well. She's got just a short time left before she's got to sell a house or she'll lose the job. And she's got a lot working against her, but she won't give up. And that's kind of Violet's spirit throughout the whole series. She's not going to give up. She's going to keep fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we sold real estate as a team back in the late 80s. And from the moment we met Ray individually, and then we came together and like, have you read about Ray yet? Oh, he's just like.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he continues
always hides
we can't say.
Always hides behind the donuts.
Yeah, you nailed
it. Then she comes out, steals your customers.
Yep.
Now, Violet, bye to her friend. She's got two kids. Oh, my gosh. I don't know that I've read anything with children written like these two kids. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
I wanted them to be major characters, but it's not all about the kids. The kids are just, you know, the secondary characters like so many others. But I wanted them to be, I'm a mother. I have a son and a daughter, and both are very different. And I just wanted them to feel real for people so that you could understand why Violet is working her buns off to make things happen, because these kids mean the world to her. She's been the only parent because the dad skipped town when she was pregnant, wanted nothing to do with them. So she's been it. And the reason she's in Deadwood is she left her job in Rapid City where she couldn't spend time with the kids much to do this job so she could be, you know, go to school trips or school trips and do more. So yeah, and I wanted them to be little bits of Violet where they're sparkle and they say funny things and they do things that make you pull your hair out, which is just like kids. You know, you love them to death, but then you just hit your head on the wall going, why did you do that? Oh, don't do that. You know, so I just want to bring that to the page.
Yeah, yeah. We have time for maybe one more character question.
Well, first I want to say, make sure that, you know, this is really a funny book, but you know, it's a mystery and it really is a thriller. And we kind of mask it a little bit with behind the humor in the mystery, but it gets a little macabre in the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lot of sit on the edge of your chair and keep reading, right, Henry? You can't really put it down, can you?
No, you got to keep turning those pages.
It's a mix. And the point is to show you that even in the dark times, you can find humor to get you through it. It's there for you. We all struggle with life. We all have things that are really dark and sometimes scary. And if you can just find your way through the tangle, and that's what this is, what Violet does.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's a series, we know, and you've just said there are 14. Are we going to meet some of these characters again?
Oh yes. This is not like here's this book and then we go somewhere else with all different characters. It's ongoing. So if you enjoy binging, you're going to enjoy their lives unfolding. I'm 14 books in, but in story time, it's been more like 6-7 months. So that shows you that it just keeps going. Like life, it's right there, and you're with them through a lot of it. So it's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to ask about another character?
Dr. Nice.
Oh, yes.
Doc Nice.
Yeah, he's kind of a heartthrob, right?
Yes, he's fun.
Ice water. You got to have something cold, ladies, next to you when their Doc enters the story.
I know. He was so much fun, the hero. And you just, you know, she doesn't know for a while. She's struggling throughout it to figure out what his deal is, because he's just not your normal everyday, you know, guy that goes and plays sports and does this. He is different. And there's so much to Doc that I can't say, that as you read the series, you learn his history and more about him and the depth of his character. But yes, he's wonderful. And he's based off the guy that birthed me, my doctor. The doctor when I was born was Doc Nice. He was our town doctor, and he was our hero because we were a small town and he was our only doctor for decades. So we all loved him. And I just thought, what an honor. You know, it'd be cool to have Doc Nice in honor of the doctor. Now, he was gone by the time I wrote this, so he doesn't, you know. But, he's such a wonderful character. But then he has depth, too, and struggles just like everybody else.
Yeah. This has been so much fun. Unfortunately, I'm looking at the clock. So, Anne, where can people find you, follow you, order those books to come in special paper? Where do they do that?
So if you go to my website, annecharles.com, and there's no E in Ann, you'll see a link to my bookstore, the online bookstore, and you can order through there, and then you can say what you want, any, you can specify an autograph or whatever, dedication, and then we'll send you the books. But they're also ebooks, they're audio books. If you like to listen, everything's in audio as well. That's the gateway to get you started right there. And if you go to the books page, it'll show you all the different places you can go to find the books.
All right. And Henry, what about you?
What about me? Well, you know, you can always find me at True West Magazine. I'm contributing articles almost every month to the INSP Channel's blog. You can find my book at your bookstore. And, you know, in 2 weeks from tonight, I'll be discussing my book on the Dusty Trails and Tall Tales podcast.
Oh, how fun. That's fun. Well, we want to thank you both for being with us on this special evening celebrating 3 years, episode 147, and the launch of rendezvouswithawriter.com. That is with a Z and a V in it, so spelling counts. And Jim, do you have a quote?
I do.
It was hard. And we had all these pages marked to find a quote.
It was really tough. So if we didn't take the best one, you know, just forgive us.
You want to read the book.
Our main character, Violet, you know, she's out looking at a house, you know, so is she going to take a listing or not? So she's looking at the Hessler house for the first time. The place is a 19th century Victorian with a multi-gabled roof and 2+ stories. However, it suffered from loneliness, evident by the peeling paint, missing roof, shingles, and rusting front gate. It was going to take some serious nursing to remove the Norman Bates curb appeal. My right eye began to twitch.
It is a lot of work, too. Woo, that house.
Sure did. Oh, my goodness. Well, again, we want to thank you both so much. Next week, guest author R.G. Stanford joins us, and we will be talking about her new book, The Brothers Brown, A Family Saga, Part 1. And R.G., if you're listening tonight, we are so looking forward to chatting with you next week. And do you have any parting comments?
You know, this is a fun show. This is a fun book. It's good to have you back, Henry.
Thank you.
We had a good time.
And Anne, you're coming back in 2026. We got to talk about down the road.
Yep.
When to do that. Maybe when the next book is ready to go.
Sounds like a plan. It'll be fun to come back.
And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
We'll keep reading.
We'll see you down the trail. Thank you both. Bye-bye. Have some cake.